After episode 7, people are talking about offlane gaming. Dave Coulier says,
"Really did enjoy hearing your voices again. The podcast was excellent. Okay, emoji."
Gizmeta says,
"I love your podcast. Just one thing, the intro song is a bit high in volume compared to your voice. Keep up the good work, guys. Exclamation point."
Brian Yinger says,
"I think you guys need to make offlane more of a priority. Episode 7 was really, really good. I liked it a lot."
Brian Yinger also says,
"Cool. Yeah, I only have positive things to say. Really enjoyed it. Nice work."
Welcome to Offlane Gaming, an occasional podcast. I'm your host, Cheeks of Flappin', and with me is your other host, Yadneb. Yadneb, how are you?
I'm good, Cheeks. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm just, it's winter time, so I'm a little bit sleepy. I was kind of back to the grind today, back to work, back to earning those dollars. I think it was the same for you, wasn't it?
It was. It was the first back, which is always a little rough, but it's okay. I even got some gaming in today on the way, you know, earlier this evening before doing the podcast. So
nice.
I'm feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good about getting back to the grind. It's okay. It's a 4-day week. That's not too bad.
Yeah. Do you feel like a pressure now that we're trying to do the podcast cast again a little more regularly to play more frequently than you are?
Well, I mean, we have at least 3 people who listen to the podcast, or at least stated that they listen to the podcast.
Yes. So claimed.
At least claimed that. So that's one more person than the 2 of us. Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, and we got to deliver.
Yeah, so we got to start playing video games.
We do. It was hard because of the holidays. I don't know about you, but it's a little more challenging for me because I was gone most of the time.
It was significantly more easy because it was the holidays for me.
There you go. There
so you go. So I guess I can pick up the slack when you're down, then you can pick up the slack when I'm
perfect.
Down. Perfect.
That works.
For those of you who are tuning in for the second time since the last episode we did, we've retooled the whole thing. We've reworked it. We've have a show that is now in 3 parts, 4 parts today, because we actually got a question, which we're going to address towards the end of the show. So the parts are, what did you play and why? Followed by, what do you wish you played and why? And then we discuss some sort of interesting article. And then our questions section. So let's get it going. Yadneb, what did you play?
Well, I was away from my computer and away from my game consoles for almost the entire week. So my goal was to try to explore mobile gaming a little bit. So, you know, gaming on your cell phone. Do you get into that? Do you like mobile gaming?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Like games on your cell phone.
No,
do you have a cell phone?
I have no idea. What's a cell phone? I don't know mobile gaming.
What? Okay. Well, I know you have a cell phone.
Yes.
I've seen it.
Yes. No, I know mobile gaming. I'm a big Hearthstone guy, so that's like...
That's right. You play a lot of Hearthstone. So that's probably the only success story I've ever really had with mobile gaming.
In terms of your own personal success?
Yeah, I just, for some reason, I can't get into it. Like, Hearthstone's fun, but everything else just is... It's either just unwieldy, like the controls don't work, or I just don't enjoy it very much, or there's, you know, paywalls and you have to pay a fortune to play.
Oh,
there's
all
these different things that happen with it. So
for sure.
But that's what I had, and I did, like you said, I felt obligated to play games because we have those 3 people that listen to us.
Yeah.
At least that we need to make sure we deliver on that. So I downloaded some games. So I just kind of went to the App Store and I looked to see what was free because I don't have any money right now. So I'm like, what's free that I can download?
There's
so
a lot.
I downloaded. There are, but it's like, it's a lot. That's the problem, right? There's a lot to kind of sift through to try to find the good stuff. So I downloaded 3 games. I tried Drop Flip, which is some little puzzle game. And that seemed like a well-designed little puzzle game.
Okay.
But I got bored dropping like this little ball. You know, it required me to think.
I wasn't really into
that on vacation. It's like, you know, you had to move the blocks to get this little ball to drop into a...
Well, hold on. What are you looking for in your mobile gaming experience? Maybe that's your issue. Maybe you don't know.
I don't know. So that's what I was trying to discover and figure that out, because so far only Hearthstone's worked out for me.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out what else would work out for me. So Drop Flip was fun for about 15 minutes.
Okay.
It's probably fantastic. It was probably as much fun as I've ever had playing a game like that with puzzles in it.
Yeah.
but it wasn't scratching my itch.
Understand.
So I went to a familiar face and I tried Mario Run.
Oh yeah, the new Nintendo mobile game. I don't know if it's hot. It's Nintendo made a mobile game and that's why it's hot.
It's a Nintendo mobile game. And this is gonna make me sound really old and out of touch, but I honestly, it had just too much going on. Like, I just wanted to have Mario run around, like, what, you know, that like Temple Run game.
Yeah, yeah. Those endless runners.
Yeah, any of the, or the, what's the one, bit something that's on the computer?
Oh, a bit trip runner. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I wanted something like that, and I think it is that mostly.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started throwing in these different things where I'm supposed to build my little Mario City, and it just started adding more and more game mechanics, and I'm just like, I'm out. Like, this isn't what I want. I just want something simple and cut and dry.
Did it seem too in-depth, like, oh, I'm really going to spend a lot of time with my phone here to make my Mario City?
Yeah, I don't even know if it's in-depth, because I saw that, and I just decided I don't want to do this. Like, I just decided this isn't something I'm interested in doing. I just want to play the Mario game.
Yeah.
And it's telling me all these other things, and I just don't really care. Like, I'm looking at the menu right now,
mm-hmm.
and there's menu, tour, rally, build, my Nintendo and friends. All I want is maybe a thing to change my sound of my system and maybe a go button. That's about it. Maybe change, be able to choose a level.
Yeah.
And there's like a package I can hit. I don't know. For whatever reason, I just got frustrated and I quit it. I know that makes me sound old and out of touch, but I wasn't feeling it. No. So then I'm like, well, you know, if I want something more involved, I want something that's more grown up in a certain extent. So I went to Star Wars, which isn't that much more grown up, but it's a little bit more grown up.
Well, it's certainly been around longer.
It's been around longer, and I'm slightly. Like, if I want something involved, that seems like more of like the kind of involved that I want to get into. So the Mario game just wasn't quite simple enough for me. So I'm like, well, if I'm going involved, because that seems like the, you know, the cup game, the dropping the ball thing was not working for me because that was too simple.
Yeah.
I downloaded the Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes game,
mm-hmm.
and I started playing that, and that's the one I played the most.
Okay, so Galaxy of Heroes.
Yeah, so you like start, it has like a really simple RPG mechanic, like fighting system to it,
mm-hmm.
where you have like some different abilities, and then you form these squads, and they level up, and this one has like 12 modes in it. Like, and I can't even, there's like this cantina that you start off in, and there's all kinds of things there. But I was able to play it for free so far. I'm guessing that if you actually got sucked into this game, you'd have to spend hundreds of dollars to play this game.
To get any sort of, to derive any sort of real satisfaction from it?
Yeah, I would think so, but for me, it was fine. I'm like, oh, I've got Chewbacca in my squad now. Now I have an Ewok, and now I have Luke Skywalker. That was fun for a little bit. You know, I can play that, you know, in
between. Sort of a party-building game.
I guess, yeah, it seems to be something like that. There's all kinds of characters in it. You get, you know, it has, like, these free drops, so you unlock all these free things every so often. But this, like, gear, it doesn't seem like it's anything that exciting. But it has enough hooks that it keeps you kind of coming back to see what's next. But again, I imagine it's one of those games that you have to spend a fortune on. But that was the most fun I had with mobile gaming, was the Star Wars game. So outside of that, I played some Overwatch tonight with friends of the show, Crimson and Sabone.
Alrighty.
That was the first time I think I've ever played Overwatch with like three people communicating on a mic.
And how'd you do?
Oh, off. Well, I did fine. I think I actually had some career bests, which is not saying a lot because I probably played the game 5 hours or something.
You
total.
Know, can I make a comment about you and video games?
Yeah, what's that?
It seems like even if you step away from a game for a really long time, I've never seen you do really terrible at any game you get into. Like any game that you get into. Yeah, any game that you just sort of hop into, you're like, especially if it's like a multiplayer thing, you'll do perfectly fine. It's like you understand the things. If anything, I feel like it's the people around you who might be who maybe play the game a little more regularly or just flabbergasted about how well you're doing, that they just begin to play poorly. So I think you sort of curse maybe. Others with your innate ability to just
that
sort
could
of
be it.
Figure out the mechanics, crack the code, and get right to the game.
That could, maybe that's it. Yes. I've probably played enough video games that they all kind of click to a certain extent.
Because, I mean, I feel like even matches like of Dota that we've played with you that when we haven't played together in a long time, it still feels like you do just fine. Even if if you say you're doing terrible, I feel like you're making good plays and stuff. I was like, I think it's just all the rest of us who actually sort of play. Like,
well, I
maybe
think you're bringing up.
I think maybe
you
make
up
Brian...
shared mechanics. Like a lot of the games have shared mechanics, like spatial awareness. Those type of things are shared between a lot of different games and a lot of different genres.
That's a good point.
And I think that's stuff that if you've been playing games long enough. Like, have you ever played Halo with somebody who's never really played a shooting game?
Yes, and they just sort of stare at
the
floor. And,
they can't figure out where to look.
Yeah,
exactly. They can't figure that out. They don't understand that, you know, getting the bigger weapons a good idea. They don't.
Yeah, well,
don't
it's. I think it goes beyond shared mechanics because, you know, it's like it's if, like, Brian and I play with you, Sabone and I play with you, and we're like, let's play Dota. You know, even though maybe Sabone and I sort of play a little more regularly, you'll get in there and then we'll just play terribly. One of us will just not be not doing well and you'll be like, oh, I'm not doing that great, but you'll still be totally like completely average. You'll be like middle of the road. Yeah. You're like even Steven. Right. You're neither harming us nor totally winning the game for us.
I think I can be there. I can be present without totally directly ruining what's happening, but I must be, like you said, indirectly cursed that everybody starts playing worse.
I think just because we're so flabbergasted, how can he be doing this well?
Well, yeah. Friend of the show, Clyde Frog, and I used to play Halo.
Yeah.
And we would, we were banned from being on the same team because we were two of the stronger players.
Oh,
so they wouldn't let us play together. But occasionally, if there was enough alcohol involved, they would let us on the same team. And it was awful. We would literally deteriorate and we would get destroyed. And we never could really understand it exactly. We just thought maybe like our play styles were similar enough that it didn't work out. But it's a similar thing. It's been happening for years.
So, your skills would cancel each other out and make for a really bad team.
I guess so. Yeah, we were you know, usually the top player on each team, and then you put us on the same team and our team would lose. It was just we totally would fall apart. And I'm not sure what that is, but it could kind of play into your theory a little bit.
Interesting. We
sure.
should probably try and do a video of that for the website or something. Just like
of
get
Jared
you guys
playing Halo.
Yeah, getting together, playing Halo, and just having it be terrible.
Oh yeah, we do that every once in a while. It's probably been 3 or 4 years, but we did a lot of Halo in college, so it's always fun to go back to.
That's what we should do, a special event. Instead of doing a video for it, we should do a special event for Offlane Gaming Xbox Club whenever we decide to start that up.
There we go.
Where we all get in and we play Halo Reach because that's backwards compatible.
Okay.
And it's a solid Halo game. I feel like it could be pretty much, I think it bridges the gap between old and new pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll just play that and see how you guys do.
I'm
on
board.
Team together.
That sounds great. That definitely works. That'd be fun.
Oh man.
Sounds good. What have you been playing?
Well, what I've been playing, I've been having the last week of vacation here, so I did two video games, and then I played one board game that I wanted to talk about that I thought was really cool. So I'll start with the video games. I got into a bit of Abzu because I found that on the Steam sale and I'd heard lots of good things.
What is Abzu?
Abzu is like a scuba diving Journey, basically. I think it's actually made by former Journey devs. So it's by like a different company. I don't think it's the same company that made Journey, but there's some members of the team there.
So the developers are the same. Okay.
Yeah. So it's, makes sense. it's really chill. It's really just like it's sort of atmospheric and calm. And you're just basically this diver just like swimming through the ocean, like looking at all these different fish and like exploring all these different things. And then suddenly you'll come to some sort of temple and it'll go into some crazy tripping balls psychedelic thing where the temple rises up out of the water and suddenly all the water is land and it's really weird, and then it'll go back to normal. So it's like you know, you reach your weird checkpoint where everything goes and then you're back to swimming with dolphins again. So it was funny. I kind of got to that part. You remember the downhill part in Journey, right? So you like you start sliding, surfing down the dune and stuff. I hit that same point in Abzu where I kind of got in a channel and then you were just being pushed along really fast, basically. And you're swimming with all these dolphins and stuff as they're like zipping around channels and stuff. And so that
was
like,
really fun. Is it co-op like Journey was?
I don't think it is. I don't know. I didn't come across anyone. I don't think it is. I think it's single player, but it's really nice because, you know, even though it has these sort of fantasy elements, it also is really rooted in like the actual like animals, like marine biology. Like, they actually have the accurate names of things like giant grouper or, you know, the great white shark or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it's pretty cool. So in terms of just like a chill atmospheric game, it's pretty good. I feel like it's one of those ones that you should probably just play in one sitting. Although I didn't do that, I just sort of took a little chunk of it, but I was still like, yeah, art style is really nice. The music's really cool, actually. It's really sort of symphonic and atmospheric, which I was kind of surprised by. I thought it would be a lot more sort of video game atmosphere music, like electronic synth pads and stuff, but no, it was really neat. It was almost like a nature show.
Okay.
So
That sounds really great.
That was a good just chill, sit back and sort of, doodle around, enjoy the atmosphere and stuff, and there's not
Yeah,
a
it
lot
sounds
of
like an
risk.
escape.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's fun to play those games that don't have, like you said, a lot of risk to them
Yeah,
sometimes.
yeah.
It's fun to just have a game that's an
It's an
escape.
experience.
And I tried to bring up a video of it, but I'm worried I'm going to crash my internet browser
Don't
at this
crash
point
your
because it's
internet
not
browser.
loading. So, but it did, yeah, I'll have to check that out. It sounds really interesting to
Yeah, I
say the
got that on
least.
the
Is it
Steam sale
because
for
you also
like
got like a
$6.
submarine Minecraft-y type of game, right?
Well,
Like a
I did get that.
survival.
I did get Subnautica, and I was sort
Okay.
of like, yeah, I'm on this whole thing. So Subnautica is obviously something completely different because it's, survival thing.
Right.
But yeah, so it was just nice to kind of like play this sort of experiential game where you're just supposed to be like looking at color palettes, and each sort of section you go, the palette changes a little bit. And you'll have different animals introduced in each section, and so it's pretty cool. And then you're sort of collecting these little things, and there's a really, really loose narrative about some sort of weird little robot guys who follow you around, and then a
Okay.
shark that constantly comes in and disrupts stuff. So I'm wondering when I'm gonna make friends with the shark, or when the shark's gonna kill me, or I don't know. It doesn't seem like the kind of game you'd die in, but something's
Yeah.
gonna happen with that shark, is
The
what.
shark is actually some alien that has to go back to his home planet or something.
Exactly. He's the king of the sea. I don't
Did you
know.
ever
And
play Echo the Dolphin?
no, but
That was a game
I
on the Sega
remember.
Genesis that took like a sci-fi turn at some point in
Did
time. It
it?
was really. Yeah, it got weird.
It
It
got
got
really
really strange.
strange.
It did.
Was it talking
It did
about
it.
like dolphins being ancient aliens or something like
I
that?
don't think I ever finished the game, but oh, did I? Maybe I did. I know that at some point at one point you're like talking to a whale, and then the whale sends you on this
On a mystical
quest, and the
journey.
quest just gets really freaking weird. Like just
Wow.
things, you start finding these weird creatures, you start getting like teleported different places because the game starts off and it's just like this beautiful game about a dolphin kind of exploring the sea, and all of a sudden just something weird's going on. And I can't remember if I ever finished it or not. I think I did. But it was just really strange because it had like this science fiction bent to it. And I think they made a sequel to it that probably went like all the way there and probably ruined the entire game because
Probably
it took
went
away
too
all the
far.
mystery. Yeah, it
Yeah.
probably went too far. But
Yeah.
yeah, there was something weird about Echo the Dolphin
Wow. Well,
sci-fi.
I'm kind of hopeful. I'm probably going to be let down by Abzu now. That's probably not going to go that far.
Well, yeah, now you're screwed because now you're expecting that,
I'm
and it's like
expecting
that.
it. But when it just gets to be a nice, benign ending to a perfectly pleasant game, is what I'm probably in for. Let's see. So, yeah. So I enjoyed, the experience. Just sat back, chilled. Played some Abzu. I'll probably definitely play some more of that this week. And then the other one, I went back to survival mode and played The Long Dark, which I bought like last winter on Steam sale.
I
But
don't remember
then
that one either. What's the long
The
dark?
Long
I don't
Dark
remember
is
that.
basically supposedly like you're it's one of these early access survival games. I don't think it's even been properly launched yet, but your plane has crashed in some sort of snowy wilderness, and you gotta like basically explore your way around and basically just stay alive. So the whole thing is just like how many days can you survive? And it'll talk and so you gotta like it's cold, so you have all these different meters. You have your hunger, your thirst, your calorie store, and every time you like do something like light a fire, it takes away calories, so it can make you
Okay.
extra hungry. You gotta make sure that you don't die from hypothermia. If you get like attack, there's like wolves that will randomly attack you. So you gotta kind of fend them off, and it's pretty fun because I really like that sort of exploration aspect, and so it's kind of fun like walking around. Like the first time I played, I lived a day and 15 hours, but in that time, I apparently it gives you a little stats sheet after you die,
Okay.
and so there's no like restarting after you die. Once you die, you're dead, but it gives you a little stat sheet that's like, you explored 5% of the area, and so like in that time, I found like some climbing ropes, and I like climbed up to the top of this mountain. And then I found a derailed train on train tracks that had like some frozen corpses by it. And so I got to loot those a little bit. I found a cave that had some other frozen corpses. Lots of people freezing to death out there. But and then I found a old abandoned logging camp, kind of off a logging road. Then I found a forestry station. And then I got attacked by wolves and bled to death. So,
okay.
It was pretty cool because it does a really nice thing with textures and with lighting in that game. So the color palette's really, really nice. And I really enjoy how the textures seem almost really painterly. Like, the polygons that they're put on aren't particularly, like, groundbreaking or, like, mind-blowing. But there's just something really nice about the textures. They almost sort of remind me of, like, matte paintings from, like, Disney. Or,
that'd be cool.
But, yeah, like, 1960s Disney, so it's, like, a little bit of, like, abstract expressionism mixed in there in terms of, like, the textures and stuff of the colors applied. Mm-hmm. But then also just the lighting for, like, you know, it's, like, you have daylight, and then when it's nighttime, and then, like, the, you know, the light sources from fire and stuff like that. So, for me, it was just really, you know, aesthetically appealing. And then it's just fun.
That's all you need in a game, right? If you have something cool to explore, that can be enough to kind of get you sucked in for sure.
You know, and then it's also that aspect of the learning curve of survival games. Like, oh, how am I going to, you know, get through this? And so it's just like learning, you know, trying to scavenge up whatever you can. There's a certain sense of urgency, especially with the cold. You know, because your body, you don't want to freeze to death. So you're always sort of looking for the next place to, you know, either make a fire or get out of the cold and stuff. So I really liked it.
The survival games to begin with. It seems to be a genre you get pulled into, it seems like.
Yeah, for sure. I had a really good time kind of doing my one run through of that. So I think I'll probably do some more of that this week. Again, it's just the experience. The sound design's pretty good on it. The art design's cool. It creates a real believable world. It's sort of, it feels sparse without totally feeling dead, you know? So it feels like you're alone, but it's not like a completely dead, empty world or anything. And it's cool because it has different sections that you can start out with. And so it seems like a pretty big area. Like, I thought for the day in 15, I thought I had, you know, explored a fair amount, but it was only like 5%, so... So there's obviously a lot more that I can explore there. So
that's true. And then you said there's a board game that you played as
well? Yeah. And then the last one I played was a board game. I was at lunch with some teacher friends the other day, and one of them pulled out this really small board game called Deep Sea Adventure, I think it is. It's by the game company Oink. And it's like really nice. It's like something that you could just like sort of fit in your bag or something, you know, in your purse. Just keep it in there. And what it is... you're a team of deep sea divers who all have to share this resource, but you're all really greedy. So you're basically kind of like trying to get out of your submarine, and you all have to share a tank of air, and you have to collect these treasure points things. So you're sort of looking for treasure outside of your sub. And so every time you pick up a treasure, at the beginning of your turn, you have to decrease by how many treasures you're holding. You have to decrease the air. And so you have a finite amount of air. And so the idea is to get out of the sub, go out, collect as many treasures as you can, and then make it back so that you can keep the treasures and flip it over and see how many points you score at the end of the round.
Okay, so it is adversarial. Because have you played any cooperative board games at
all? Yeah. I've played Forbidden Island and stuff like that. So it's a little bit adversarial because, you know, it's like you kind of want to... It's tough, though, because you the path is made up of all these treasures, and you can choose to take one or not. But at some point, you can choose to turn around. So the more treasures you pick up, you have to subtract off of your roll. So the more treasures that everybody has, the faster the oxygen goes down. And then also, it decreases your roll, so you're not able to move back towards the sub as fast. So if you run out of oxygen, then you lose all those treasures that round. So you're like trying to get back onto the sub. So it was pretty fun. And there was like a little bit of like... you know, like strategy in terms of like, when do I start picking up stuff? Do I turn back?
I'm Google searching some images on it, and it looks really simple.
Oh, yeah.
But it looks like it could have a degree of strategy
too. There's totally a degree of strategy. And it's, and depending on who you're playing with, I think it'd be a fun game. I don't really know. Are you seeing like how much it costs on Amazon there? It doesn't seem like a very big game, so I don't think it's going to be super expensive.
I'm not sure. I don't think it would cost too much. In terms of how easy it is to learn, where would you rank it on that?
I would say it was pretty, you know, it's like if 5 was like a super difficult game, like, let's say 10 is a super difficult game like Agricola. like your biggest, most fancy German multi-piece ridiculous scorekeeping game would be like a 10, and like let's say something like Tiddlywinks is a 1 or something, you know. I'd say this would probably falls, you know, maybe about like a 4 or something. It's not hard to learn, but it seems like there's a fair amount of strategy that can go with it. So,
Okay.
ooh,
It
so
looks like
it,
it's about sub 30, sub
yeah, you're
$30,
sub
but I mean,
$30,
it's not
so.
sold directly through Amazon. It's one of the,
Oh,
you
the
know,
in-stock things,
see,
yeah.
it's always, yeah, you never really know because they could be totally, you know, upselling it. It looks like it's on eBay. I don't see it a lot of other places right now, but
Yeah.
looks like it should be around $30.
Yeah, for sure.
So it, but just reasonable. It sounds like I don't buy a lot of board games. I'd have to ask some friends that are into it, but that seems like maybe a little bit higher based on the number of pieces and stuff that are in it than it
Oh
should
yeah.
be, but it's not totally outrageous.
Yeah. But no, it was really fun. And why did I play that? It's because I was with a group of people who we play board games with all the time. We have a board game club at school that meets every Friday morning. And so it's two teachers and I run
I didn't
that.
know that. Okay.
Yeah, and so it's been lots of fun. It's and we've met a lot of we started last year and we only had like a handful of kids, but this year it's really grown. We've got a lot of new students interested and
Oh, it's for the students.
yeah,
Okay,
it's for the
great.
students.
Oh, that's really
So,
cool.
you know, but I like to play board games too, so I'm in there playing
Sure.
board games. And so,
I'm
you
hit
know,
and miss on board games. I'll
some are
play
good,
them.
some are not great.
Yeah,
Yeah.
sometimes I just get bored, or I'll play them once that I get either frustrated learning the rules or just some of them just take so long. I think that's the biggest critique I have,
Oh,
is it's
yeah.
hard for me to find a game that I find is complex enough that it's interesting, but
But it's
that, you
also
know.
doesn't last like it's not like Risk
Yeah, it's, but
length or
it's not
something.
fixed hour. Yeah, because like I hated playing Risk growing up. I never
Yeah.
liked playing Risk or
Or
Axis and Allies just because they took so long.
Monopoly or anything.
Yeah, even Monopoly just to a certain extent because it just would never ever end. And it's like, and it just didn't seem like anything was happening. You know, somebody would
Yeah.
get a bunch of countries together and Risk, and you're like, you know, they're gonna win. It's just never gonna end. So it's finding a game that has the complexity and the strategy, but also doesn't take forever. So like Settlers of Catan is a good example of one that,
Yeah.
you know, it goes pretty fast, but there's some strategy to it. It's not overly complex, but it's at least interesting to play.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
So
we I
those.
mean we generally have to take the length of the game into consideration too. Just because, you know, it's only like an hour that our club can meet. So, you know, like 45 minutes is like the longest we should expect a game to go because, you know, you want to be able to finish the game that time. So, you know, we do a lot of, you know, shopping and a lot of people bring in board games and I've learned of a lot of really cool board games just from the other teachers in the club and stuff. So
That's great.
that's been super cool.
Yeah, that is
And
cool.
it's fun. Board games are fun, man. They're good.
They are fun. They are
I
fun.
plan on talking about more on this podcast in the future, for sure.
There you go. Yeah, I'm trying. I have a friend that's trying to get me into board games because I don't always think they're fun. So he's it's his mission to get me sucked into board games.
Tell him to get you into Deep Sea Adventure. I think you'd like that game.
Yeah, that one seems like it's one that I would enjoy.
Yes, it's
It doesn't
super
seem too
fun.
bad.
Super
Tell me,
fun.
so Cheeks, since I think we're probably going a little long at the moment, I'm not
That's
sure,
fine.
but tell me though about what you want to be playing.
What
Let's
do I
transition
want to
into
be
that.
playing? See, well, I want to be this is weird. This week I want to be playing Hearthstone. But that's ridiculous because I play Hearthstone every day. I just feel like I want to be playing it because I'm not paying any attention to the meta, nor have I been for like the last month. And so it's
Well, there's
just
like a new
been,
expansion out, right?
yeah,
That
there's
just
a
came
whole new
out.
expansion out, the whole Gangsta Goblins, which Sabon should
The
be all
gangster,
over.
yeah. Why is he
Yeah.
not playing this
I
game?
know
That's right
exactly.
up his alley. So there's Gangster Goblins as the
Yes.
expansion.
Yes, it's the Mean Streets of Gadget
What kind of
Town.
gangsters are we
How do you
talking?
say
Like
that? You're the
mafia gangsters, or
Yeah.
like
Like
okay.
mafia gangsters, they have sort
Okay.
of like your Italian mafioso style gangsters, and then also
Do they have the Saints Row style?
your Asian gangsters. There's no
Okay.
like yeah, there's no like gangsta, so to
Okay.
speak, types.
Okay.
Although I think
Okay.
the
So we're
closest they
talking
go
like
to
the
that, I think the closest they get to that is a greaser worgen or something like that, but that's
Yeah, so we're
still pretty
stopping at
dated.
the like the 50s or
Yeah,
something,
exactly.
basically on the gangster thing. Okay.
So,
Interesting. Okay. But you haven't really been playing much of it.
well, I mean, I've been playing some of it, but I just haven't been paying attention to the meta. Like prior to like a couple months ago, I was paying lots of attention to the meta because I'd only play standard. But now I start getting into Wild just because Standard was kicking my butt too much, and I was like, I just don't know how to play this. So I guess I just wish I was playing Hearthstone better.
When a new expansion comes out, are those the cards you're going to start seeing in the meta?
Sometimes. I mean, you'll see certain cards or you see certain deck types kind of start to surface as being more successful. And some of those new deck types are pretty fun, but I find it's like the biggest thing about sussing out the meta is trying to figure out how fast or what kind of deck it is. Is it a control deck where it's just going to take like forever, you know, like your whole deck basically to win a game? Or is it a really fast deck, or is it a tempo deck where you have something really playable on every hand? So, you know, the successful decks, I'm not really sure what they are. And I feel like I see such a variety that I'm just like lost as to, I was like, okay, well, I'll build a really fast deck and that'll work for like a day. And then the next day I'll try and play it again. And then it's like, no, these are all control decks. So my fast deck doesn't work anymore. So I'll try a tempo deck. And then that doesn't really work. It just feels like I'm keep like missing the point or something. And I know that's on me, but there's just a part of me with most like card battlers where I just want to be able to figure it out myself. Like figure out, like,
right,
this is the thing I want to do in cheat. This. Exactly. Right. This is the thing I want to do in this. I don't want a net deck. I want to try and make up my own creative strategy. And sometimes you can do that and it'll be fun even if you lose, but if you're really trying to build to win, it just can get so frustrating.
Yeah, that's. So, I mean, I found the meta part of that game to be a little overwhelming.
Yeah, yeah.
It just, which I mean, I'd played Magic a couple times before and stuff, so I guess I'm used to it. But I just don't. Yeah, I don't have the ability to keep up with that anymore, and it's changing so fast. And I think the more frustrating thing is with Hearthstone is, you know, you don't unlock cards very fast automatically.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So getting those, you know, at least unless you play it a lot, I don't play it enough to get those. So you just feel so far behind, you know, you just don't feel like you compete a lot of times. So
exactly.
I don't know, but it's interesting. That's fun. Anything else you've been wanting to play?
I want to get back into Battle Rite, which is a game we talked about a while ago. It's sort of like it's a really quick like arena battler. So it's sort of like a MOBA, but it's like 2-person teams. So it's like 2v2 matches, and then it's more like WASD kind of controls and using the mouse to aim at those things. And so I got that for, it's an early access still, but it's about to be free to play. But I got that for Brian for Christmas, and I was like, man, Sabone for Christmas. I'm like, I should be playing that with Sabone, because, you know, matches last, you know, at most maybe like 7 minutes or something.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so that's a great change.
It's real quick, real fast. I'm excited to kind of see it come out of early access so that everyone can play it for free.
Do you know when it comes out on early?
I have no idea.
Free to play?
Yeah, I
have to keep an eye out for that. So I definitely would play that with you too. That sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah It's pretty fun though, you know. It's like in the heroes, there's enough variety and it seems like they're going to add more kind of down the line. I kind of wish I was playing a bit more of that.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So what do you wish you were playing and why?
Well, I don't have the ability to do so right now, but I have a desire to play like an RPG. So
oh yeah, Final Fantasy 50. Oh, you already talked about that last week.
Yeah, I already talked about that one. But I have my subscription to World of Warcraft still. I'd made the mistake of buying like a chunk of it, thinking, I'll play. And so I have that for like a few more months.
Oh, and it's just sitting there, and you're just losing days.
So I canceled my subscription, but it's like I already paid for a long chunk of it. Oh, yeah, so it's just eating away at the imaginary wallet, I guess.
Oh, that's the worst.
Already gone.
That's the guilty gaming.
It is. So that one, that was a poor decision on my part just because I really don't have the time to play it. But I want to play it. I want to try out Mythic Dungeons. I want to see all the new stuff. They've, you know, launched some dungeons that were revisits of some of the stuff that that existed when I did play a lot, because there was a point in time where I was playing World of Warcraft quite a bit. I mean, when it first came out, I played the beta, and I played, I was in a raiding guild with my roommate at the time, so we played that a lot, and we were actually kind of on the forefront of the content, and that's neat, kind of like your Hearthstone thing.
Yeah.
Kind of neat to like get into those dungeons that nobody's ever seen before.
Mm-hmm. And be part of the zeitgeist kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Try to figure out what's going on, and I was actually leading out the raids, which is awful. That's like the worst thing you can ever do, because back then it was like trying to organize 40 people over the internet to all do the same thing, and make sure nobody's AFK, because if they are, they're going to ruin everything. So that was a frustrating experience, but it was exciting. It was cool, because when you did make progress, you really had to work at it. There's a desire to play that. There's a desire to play Fallout 4, just because I never finished that. And I've noticed a lot of people on social media are still picking up that game. So you get little glimpses of that. For some reason, did you play that one?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I bought it again on Xbox when it was on sale. So I got like all the expansion, all the content. I got the Game of the Year version, basically. And so I started playing that again. And yeah, it's good. I mean, it's fun. It's definitely like a on the couch with my headphones on controller kind of game for me.
Right. I'd like to give it another shot, because I never got far enough into it to have it be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I think part of the problem is I went in and I'm like, I want to beat this game. And you can't do that with these games. So you have to just be like, I want to go wander over to that bridge.
It's the whole experiential thing. They're part of these games is like, yeah, there's a narrative, but
it's not part the most important part of the experience.
Yeah, though. It seems like it's supposed to be like they're trying to build this whole world and leave it open to you to explore and discover. So it does feel like kind of one of more of these more experiential games.
Yeah, you know? I just approached it wrong, basically. So I need to revisit that one and try to approach it correctly.
I have the hardest time like sticking with the storylines in those games, especially Bethesda games, because I always just want to go wander around a whole bunch. But then I always feel like I start to do the storyline, then I'm like, but maybe this is interesting. I don't know. I feel like I'm not great at playing Bethesda games, just because there's like a wanting to go off and explore and do my own thing. And then there's also the wanting to kind of see the story, so feeling obligated to do that, because sometimes I'll like hit a wall in the exploration where I find something that I can't get to because I'm underleveled or whatever. And so it's like, oh, I'm obviously missing part of the thing, which I think, I don't know. So I think that's kind of what turns me off a little bit about Bethesda games.
The only one I've ever had any success with was Oblivion. I managed to actually finish Oblivion, and then I actually revisited that one. I couldn't get through the expansion for the same reasons you're talking about. Like, I just never, you know.
You want to wander, but you can't really.
Yeah, there's an element of that. So I don't know what the solution is. And they're fantastically built worlds, which is, I mean, I think that's why everybody puts up with the fact that usually there's great game-breaking bugs in their games, and all the times of crashes where you lose hours worth of, you know. I thought one of my Xboxes was broken during Oblivion because it kept crashing, and it's like, oh my gosh, what do I do? Like, do I need a new Xbox because I'm really sucked into this game? So there's always all that you have to deal with the games. I think there's like fan patches that fix certain problems with the games. But the worlds are just so interesting and deep.
You
always want to keep exploring them. And they're kind of on the forefront of some of the technology with that kind of stuff. They kind of do the open world thing, and then some other people kind of take over from them. You know what else I want to play in terms
What's
of
that?
Open world is I'm really excited for Red Dead.
Oh, that
just came to my mind. I love that series. And
see, that makes me feel like I need to finish the first one. I still haven't finished
that. That's one of my favorite. I actually, without spoiling it, there's essentially a chapter of the game that I intentionally did not finish just because I don't want the game to actually end. So I got to like this natural ending point of the storyline.
And
you're
like, just
like, I'm just going to let that sit.
This is good. So, I'm choosing to end it on my
terms.
There's
almost like a prologue afterwards, and I'm like, I'm not going to play the prologue. I'm just going to let it sit because I felt like the ending was perfect. So
yeah. Well, I mean,
that's where I've left it.
That's part of the thing. It's part of the thing about games. You know, if everything's supposed to be like a, you know, playing to your style, why not play up to a point where you feel like this should be the ending of the game?
Exactly.
So why ruin it for yourself, right?
Exactly. So here's a natural turning point, I think, into the next thing we want to talk about. So I was talking to my friend, we'll call him Tree Frog, my friend Tree Frog.
Okay.
I was talking to him, and he came up with this idea about this game challenge. Initially, he's like, I want to do this for a year. And he's like, I can't do it for a year. It's just not going to happen. It's going to be cost prohibitive. It's just not going to be fun.
Yeah.
So we kind of talked about it and redeveloped this challenge into a thing for a month.
Okay.
So the challenge is essentially, for any games that you play for a given month, and I've already screwed this up for this month, so this month won't be it.
Okay.
But at some point, him and I are going to do this, is for every game you play, if you die or you hit the end state of a game, so, you know, if it's a puzzle game, you lose. If it's a sports game, you lose the match.
Yeah.
If it's a traditional shooter, if you're playing Overwatch and you get shot and you die, that's it. You log out of the... you know, if you're playing Dota and you and you get killed, and you get log killed, out of Dota match, and you say screw you guys, you just disconnect. So you do that for a whole month, where just the death is permanent in that game, and you cannot touch that game again for the entire month.
Oh man!
And we thought that would be kind of fun. What do you think about that?
I don't know. There's I see the value in it, and being like, let's put a little more emphasis on the death again, like the permanence of that. It's an interesting meditation on mortality. That's for sure.
I think that's what it is. We just wanted to somehow make gaming a little bit more of an experience, I guess. And we're like, well, let's do it that way. But it would be frustrating, right? Like, especially if you buy a game during that period.
Yeah, and then you're like, well, I died. I guess so. I died in the tutorial, so I can't.
I gotta wait till I gotta wait till March now. So and yeah, then, you die. What if you purposely die in a tutorial? Like, what if the tutorial forces you to die? Like, remember what was it, Bloodborne or Dark Souls games? Mm-hmm. Or they purposely
all those make you die? Yeah.
So you're just done. You're just done. You either got that guy, because I think there's ways to beat those initial enemies that are kind of these blocks into the world. You either win or you don't.
Well, so, I'll be interested to see how many listeners want to get on board with this challenge.
Yeah, we'll kind of build it up for a little bit.
We'll see if we can get some more people on board.
See if we can get some people on board. Yeah, but we're gonna try that at some point. We haven't picked a month yet. At some point, we're gonna try this. If you die, if you lose, you're out.
That's it.
You're in. That's it. And then move on to the next game.
The ultimate high stakes.
How many games do we play? Is it fun? Is it awful? Do you approach games differently? I think it would be really interesting.
That would be pretty interesting.
And that kind of points us. So we're trying to do this article.
Of the week. Yeah, we are.
We're going scholarly on this one. We're going academic. And so we actually are going to the Ludamos Journal for Computer Game Culture. And we found an article from 2008. It's called "You Are Dead, Continue?" Conflicts and Complements in Game Rules and Fiction by Jason Tachi, I'm going to assume. So you and I, we both checked out at some point when reading this article. Not because it's bad, but just because...
It's academic.
It's academic. And we just didn't really, we weren't really feeling emotionally invested in reading this.
Well, I was in bed when I was trying to, when I was reading this too. So I was like, I'll just
I was trying to read it before the podcast. I think I Google searched death in video games just because I had this conversation with Luke.
Yeah.
Tree Frog. And I just thought, let me find an article on it. And then I saw the title and I read like the, you know, the intro. And I thought this could be good, and I didn't look at the fact that it was an academic article that was relatively long.
Well, we're not saying we're shying away from academic articles. I mean, we're obviously scholars of
I just wasn't feeling
some
it
degree.
This time. I just wasn't feeling this. So what did you get out of this article?
The most I gleaned from it was sort of the conflict between like mechanics and the gaminess of something versus the aspiration to be narrative. So it talks about big games of the time, like your Mass Effect or Bioshock, or it even references Resident Evil 4, and it talks about the desire for developers to create these large narratives, but then how they get sort of a little bit hung up with the old video game tropes, like dying and then, you know, getting to restart or continue from that checkpoint.
Yeah, it's just because it's just become a thing, essentially, right? It's not necessarily, there's not necessarily a reason, although this explores that, this article kind of explores, is there a reason for that?
Yeah.
But it's the gaminess, and it's, like you said, the trope or the, I don't know, just really the tradition of video game is this, is wrapped around this idea of failure and retrying and eventually overcoming an obstacle.
Exactly.
Interesting. I mean, the article kind of provides some alternative failure scenarios, if you will. So in terms of offering different sorts of consequences versus the death consequence or the retry consequence, which I think is interesting. I think that's an interesting thing we don't see from too many video games.
Yeah.
It could be kind of explored. And I think it also explores, the article also seems to explore the idea of what is that retrying in that death and that playing the same scenario over and over again, what does that do in two narratives? And what do you think about that? Like, what does that do? Are you playing, I guess even I'll ask you this, are you playing games for the gaminess or are you playing games for the narrative value that's provided by the games?
I tend to be a mechanics guy. Like, I really like mechanics, and I really like if something has a clever mechanics or plays well. And then if the story just happens to be good, then that's great. Like Portal was like the ultimate version, you know, of that, the ultimate, you know,
right.
sort of complement mm-hmm. of those two things. It had this great puzzle aspect where you just wanted to try and solve these puzzles, but it also had a really compelling, interesting narrative that unfolded as you went through the game.
And yeah, I think Portal 2 is probably one of my favorite games ever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think took that to the next level.
That was just like the series of games did just such a good job of merging those two things together and not having them run parallel to each other. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like right. you had your game part over here and then your story part over here. It seems like mm-hmm. they sort of both converged at one point and became one. So they both, you know, they complement each other so well that it just makes for really compelling gameplay, and it makes you kind of care about it, you know, a lot more. I mean, that's why so many people are, you know, so nuts about Portal, just because it's been, you know, it's such a good example of storytelling and gameplay mechanics too, because it's something so specific and new and different that it was, yeah, it was standalone example.
I think you're entirely correct. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the interesting things I'm wrestling with is you know, do games focus on that gaminess and on the mechanics because they're not mature narratively yet? Is it that they're still not quite sure how to tell an interactive story
mm-hmm.
to the same effectiveness as maybe a movie or even music or a play, something like that? Is there some limitation to video games still in terms of telling narratives that are valuable and interesting on their own, that mm-hmm. they almost need the gaminess to provide some sort of emotional response from the player? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think there's games that are getting better at sort of merging their mechanics and their storytelling into mm-hmm. one sort of cohesive things. And I think the games that do that best are the ones that really lean into the mechanics. Like I think Dark Souls does a
Portal's
really good,
a good example.
Yeah, Portal's a good example. I think Dark Souls does a really, really good job of that too. You know, that you're going
to
die.
Has narrative to it?
It has a narrative that's sort of...
It's told by the game mechanics,
yeah,
right?
It's told mm-hmm. by the game mechanics a little bit, but it's also just, it's all about that environment and sort of discovering that narrative. Like, there's mm-hmm. no one telling you, it doesn't seem like super linear, even though there is a specific, like, good way to play, you know, these certain uh-huh. games. You know, it doesn't tell you which way to go at first. So it kind of lets you discover that narrative through the trial and error, which I feel like is a really, really good way to kind of tie in that narrative to that. And it makes
my question is there a place in the interactive media realm for narratives that don't rely so much on the mechanics to be effective? Or do you think we're not going to hit a point, or do we even need to hit a point? I think you've talked a lot about the value of not having that and having the game mechanic driven narratives. And then do you think it's important that they get to a point where they can just tell a narrative without falling back on the game mechanics?
Well, no, because you need the mechanics, because that's what makes it a game. That's what makes it compelling to play. That's what gives that sense of achievement. I mean, I don't know, in terms of like my own gaming self or whatever, I like the achievement of like figuring out the mechanics, figuring out the system, and anything that else that's sort of wrapped up in that just enhances that feeling for me. You know, I'm not looking for a satisfaction necessarily in the narrative, but like I said, if it's in there, I don't know, if you just had a game that was like really story driven but didn't have the strong mechanics, then it would just sort of, I don't know, it would just be like watching a movie or something. Or
yeah, does it get too close to that?
Yeah, maybe. I think it just gets too close to that. So it just ends up being sort of like a, I don't know, like video novel or something like that. I don't know. It's just like, it just seems like it would sort of lose it, and it'd just be like, well, why don't you just make a movie if you're gonna do that?
Yeah, and I think that, yeah, I mean, I think even of the Metal Gear Solid series and how mm-hmm. that series has been critiqued for being too movie-like at times.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Kojima is known for having hour-long cutscenes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The like,
exactly.
And there is this element of, you know, is it even a game anymore? And you get that debate that comes out. So
yeah, but then it still has these fail states. I guess how much does the you dying take you out of the story? Like, say, let's say you're
for playing Metal Gear Solid.
Let's say, let's say you're playing something like Uncharted, and there's one part that you just keep messing up. How much does that frustrate you in terms of, and it's like a key like climax story point where you just
that's the challenge I think with video games and with the death state and the fail state is if they do, there's a point where the narrative is destroyed because of the gameplay. Yeah. So they're, I feel like they're in conflict a lot of times. The narrative and the gameplay are conflicts, and they can either have this beautiful unison. And I think the Bloodborne and Dark Souls series, I think those are a good example of that in terms of the gameplay is ridiculously hard.
Yeah.
And the narrative comes at you at the pace of unlocking that gameplay in a way that makes the narrative kind of a natural. The speed that the narrative comes at you feels natural. Right?
Yeah.
And so I think that works. But yeah, there are games like Uncharted. I'm trying to think, there's certain RPGs where you might run into a boss that is so, you know, out-leveled you and so much more powerful than you that you can't get past that boss. And you're like, I want to see what happens in the next part of the story, and I can't.
Yeah.
Or like you said, you kind of form your own narrative in some of the Bethesda games, and then you run into this wall of levels.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I wanted to see what was down that path, and now I can't.
Exactly.
And so there does seem like there's some kind of conflict that's going on between the games and the narrative. But it's also, I think it can be really beautifully done at the same time. Yeah. It's interesting.
I think it's fascinating to see something like Overwatch, which, you know, doesn't come out and have an explicit narrative. It has a very loose setup, but, just from simply playing these characters and like seeing new stages and stuff like that and hearing like the little voice lines they put in, people seem to really, you know, care about their character and like want to seek out like the story, the narrative out of that, you know, and there's no disconnect because the death is part of that gameplay mechanic and people don't feel like, you know, the death is, you know, permanent or anything. It doesn't interrupt the story, but you are sort of interested in like, what does that interaction between these two characters mean? Blah, 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 you know, and I think
in some ways the mysterious narrative seems better suited for games, right?
I mean,
the ones
that
have made an impact for us are, you know, Portal, the Dark Souls series, Overwatch, those are games that don't have explicit narratives to them.
But you're intrigued by them just because...
You are, yeah.
Or they sort of give you the freedom to sort of hypothesize a little bit more about the narrative. Because I don't know, I think that games can be appealing to creative individuals because anything that you know, have to sort of strategize about or think about in a different way or sort of problem solve your way through. You want to sort of create, your own idea about how you're going to get through the specific thing or how you're going to achieve something in this game. So, I mean, I think that kind of having those looser narratives plays really, really well. Now, if you're talking about...
I think you're right, yeah.
In terms of, like, an experience, like, Uncharted is, you know, great. But for me, sometimes those really linear games... You know, I think that death can really, really be a disconnect for you because it's like you just kind of want to see the movie play out, right?
Right.
And so it's like you almost are just like, well, I know what the gameplay is going to be like. It's going to be third-person action shooting. So maybe I'll just go watch all the cutscenes on YouTube or something like that instead, you know?
There is an element of that, yeah, right? Yeah. There's an element of like, maybe I'll just play the game on easy.
Yeah, so exactly.
Well, yeah, definitely. Because I think the Uncharted series is very cinematic.
Yeah, yeah.
In its storytelling and has, you know, really good voice acting and that sort of thing. It's a little ahead of the curve on that kind of thing. But yeah, at some point you're just playing you're playing some minor game scenes to get to the next cutscene.
Yeah, I like that whole notion again.
YouTube is the way to do it.
Yeah, I like the notion of just putting it on easy so you don't have to encounter that fail state as much. That takes you out of the story. Mm-hmm. You know?
I agree.
So
yeah, it seems like a lot of times cutscenes can be problematic in terms of taking you out of the world. I think the worlds that I remember the best are the worlds that I explored through gameplay and
not
the worlds that it, you know.
Yeah, I'm doing
BioShock is a good example. BioShock is a storytelling through the arts and the world and necessarily through a bunch of cutscenes.
Yeah, yeah. And audio logs.
audio
logs. Found an audio log, it told me a new thing.
Right. I forgot about the audio logs. Yeah. Maybe not the best mechanic.
And then that became
the
a crutch for like every game.
Right. But the world told a lot of the story,
did.
The
world really
and
did.
The design told a lot of the story.
Yeah, for sure.
The audio logs maybe not as effective in that, but at the same time I think just the world building made some of the things that were happening pretty obvious.
Yeah. Going back to sort of survival games, like in terms of like emerging narrative or like personal narrative, like I think that's what I liked about The Long Dark was that you played your life and you saw how many days you could live. and what you could kind of discover in that amount of time, and then that's over. And so you start a new narrative next time you do that thing. So I don't know. Maybe that could be another aspect of it, because it doesn't break that for me, and it lets me kind of create my own story for survival games anyway. That could be another compulsion for me. So,
all right, Cheeks, we have one more thing. And then
yes,
we should probably
last
wrap up the
show segment.
Here. We got a question.
Woo!
So not only did we get all that positive feedback and some constructive criticism, but we also got a question.
An actual question. Now, this question was This question was posted.
Posted, yeah.
On the Offlane Gaming Reddit, we have a thread that's Offlane Gaming Questions and Comments thread, January and February 2017. If you have a question for us, it can be about anything. It could be life-related. It doesn't even have to be about games. Just ask us a question. Please post it over there at the show, and we will do that. So, Adam, who's our question coming from this week?
Dave Coulier.
All right, not the Dave Coulier.
Well, we're not sure. We're a little on the fence about that.
Because
but he's one of the three people that listen to the show.
Yeah, I've played Dota with him. I don't think it's that same Dave Coulier.
Okay. We're going to go with probably not.
But you also said he only had like 45 followers on Twitter.
I had to ask you who Dave Coulier was. So
yes.
For those who don't know.
Uncle Joey.
Uncle Joey from, what was it? Full House.
Full
right?
House, yes.
Yeah, from Full House. Okay. So... yeah, so Uncle Joey says, what is the best way to sit your significant other down and explain that there are some times that you just .. need to play video games?
First of all, don't sit your significant other down.
Right. I thought the same thing.
Don't do that.
Like, this isn't the approach to take.
You're like, that's almost like, listen, stupid.
Right.
That seems like a really not good way to approach that.
Right. I think you want to take a little bit more subtle approach to it, maybe.
Yes. One way you can do that is by having a podcast, so you feel obligated to play video games.
Right.
For it. You're like, listen, I got to do this for the podcast.
No, in some ways that works, right? You've got some purpose behind it.
Okay. Well,
not everybody's gonna. They're not all gonna start a podcast.
Exactly.
Right? So what else you got?
So let's look at this question. Need to play video games. All right. Yadnab, do you consider that you need to play video games?
No, I don't. I don't feel like I need to play video games. I think that I desire to play video games from time to time.
Yeah. I don't think I particularly need to play video games either. Mm-hmm. But I definitely want to do. It's something that I want to do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in terms of... like whoever your significant other is, whatever intimate relationship status you have with somebody, you're going to understand that those people have desires to do things that they want to do, about the hobbies, pastimes and stuff like that. It's not anything they need to do, but they just desire to do it because they have a vested interest in it.
Here's the thing, though. I think Dave's coming from this place that I think there's something else going on here. I think he's saying I need video games are his escape.
Yeah.
And he needs to communicate that he needs that escape from time to time.
Okay.
Well, there's some more validity to that, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe that our escape isn't that we have to go play video games. Like, not going to be the one thing that goes and de-stresses us. But, and I'm putting words into Dave's mouth. I'm not sure if this is where he's coming from or not. But it sounds like there's this element of, I need to just step away and do my own thing for a little bit.
Well, it could be another thing. It could be is the community. Maybe that's what he needs, that community aspect, because, playing multiplayer games, for sure, you develop, like, community or a group of friends that you play games with. And so, in terms of that social aspect, I think that is a need. I mean, if you're not socializing with people, you've got problems.
That's a way to socialize, right? You and I live, we're in different parts of the country.
Yeah,
that's the way that we're going to connect is usually through doing the podcast and playing video games or... through chatting through our Google Hangout group, that kind of thing. And so there is a need to connect to people socially and keep those connections. So,
yeah. So I'd say kind of play into that angle. If it is a social thing, I would say less the escape, because anytime you bring up escape with significant, they're probably not going to be super stoked.
Poorly.
You're like, why do you need to escape me? Talk about the community that's built around that game and the folks that and folks that you've met and, just wanting to kind of keep a connection with them. Because,
connecting with... hobbies. I don't use the word video games when you're having this conversation.
Exactly.
I think you're wanting to use... I want to make sure that I have time to pursue my interests or my hobbies.
Mm-hmm. Or where my communities are, you know.
And you know, and make sure that the significant other knows that you want them to do the same.
Yeah.
Like I want, you know, make it an us thing. You know, I want us to be able to pursue the things we're interested in, to pursue our hobbies, to pursue our own social relationships.
Exactly.
I think that's kind of how you want to approach it. I don't think you want to say, I need to play video games. I need time to do it.
Yeah. You're freaking me out right now. I need to go play video games.
Right. I need to escape. That's not the way to approach it, but just, you know, framing the positive things around it and making it an us decision.
Yeah. So avoid mentioning escape, I think, is the biggest thing. It's like, I don't need this as a break from you. I need it just as an opportunity to connect with a community that I've gotten to know or, you know, just pursue my interest, you know.
So. Yeah, I think so. I think just put the, present the positivity.
Yes.
That's what it boils down to. Just present the positivity around it.
For sure. So, I mean... Yeah, I hope that answers your question. I think we did okay. I think we did that in the most diplomatic way possible.
We tried. We probably offended all three people that listened to us.
Oh, I doubt
it's
that.
It's fine.
No, I think we made some excellent points. I think we're geniuses. We're relationship geniuses.
Not so much. People should go to us for relationships.
So anyway, so if you have more questions about relationships, post them at Offlane Gaming at our Reddit on the Offlane Gaming Questions and Comments thread, January, February 2017. Hey, Adneb, why don't we call that a show?
Yeah, let's do it.
Where can we find you?
I can be found at Dota Yadneb on Twitter, as well as the Offlane Gaming Reddit. And that's about it. That's what I got.
That's all you're willing to share. All right, I'm out
there.
Well,
I keep forgetting to look up my game tags. So
yeah, you gotta get the game tags out there.
Right.
I am out there on Xbox Live, Cheeks a flapping. On PSN, I'm Cheeks. That's CCHHEEEKKSS. On Battle.net, it's Cheeks as well. Where else
Nobody's
am I?
That.
Oh, sure they will. No, they'll be
you'll
Steam? Be able
to. I've got my
on
Steam name up.
Steam,
so
I'm Cheeks
Yadneb
a Flappin.
On Steam.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so
Yadneb
Cheeks
a Flappin
and Yadneb on Steam.
Yeah.
There we go.
And
people
then...
find us on Steam. That doesn't seem to be a problem.
Yeah. And then on Twitter.
Finding us on the other stuff, not so much.
Not
but
so
Steam,
much.
They found us. Yep.
Exactly. Or it's funny, I'll get a friend request on one of those, and I'm like, ooh, I don't want a friend request this week.
Yep.
No, but I will accept friend requests. And if you want to play some games, I'm down. But yeah, and on Twitter at Cheeks Flappin, Instagram Cheeks Flappin. So yeah, that's the show. We'll hopefully see you real soon for Offlane Gaming episode 9. Until next time, we don't have a sign off.
We don't have there's no sign off. Yeah,
let's figure out one right now. Until next time,
it's not gonna go well. I don't think.
Okay, until next time, it's not gonna go well.